Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ambuja Cements Limited and ACC Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Navin Sahadev from ICICI Securities. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Zayo. So, good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I welcome you all to the Q1 FY24 earnings call of Ambuja Cement and ACC Limited. From the management, we have with us CEO Mr. Ajay Kapoor, CFO Mr. Vinod Baheti, and Head Investor Relations Mr. Charanjit Singh. Without any further ado, I now hand over the call to Mr. Charanjit Singh for his opening comments. Over to you, Mr. Singh.
Thank you, Naveen, and very good afternoon, everyone. Firstly, thanks for taking out the time to join on the call. Our format will be similar to as has been in the previous call. We will focus on Ambuja and ACC with reference to our numbers and the information. With respect to any information you require on the promoters on the group level, please feel free to reach out to me separately after the call. Without taking much time, I'll hand it over to Mr. Ajay Kapoor. Then we will follow it with comments from Mr. Vinod Baheti. And thereafter, we will open it for Q&A. So over to you, Mr. Kapoor.
Thank you, Charanjit. Warm greetings to everyone. Thank you for joining us today. It is my pleasure to share with you the operational and financial performance of Adani Group Cement business for the quarter ended June 23. The third quarter post the change in management has been a spectacular one for our progress on a number of projects, including operational efficiencies, synergies, and business excellence, which have significantly improved key business metrics. Let me provide some highlights of this quarter and some insights on the way forward. Starting with revenue, the revenue for the quarter came in at 8,713 crores, up 8.5% YOY. The realizations for the quarter were 5657 per ton. The volume of premium product has increased by 10% on a YOY basis. Now coming to cost, our operating cost for the quarter is at 4575, which is 7% decline over last year. This is attributable to 20% fall in energy costs, given the coal tie-ups and reduction in kiln fuel by 17% on a YOY basis at 2.07 rupees per 1,000 kcal. The raw material cost reduced by 11% on a like-for-like basis on a YOY from 707 rupees per ton to 631 rupees per ton. In the figures, you might feel this is a little difference, but this is largely on account also of a higher production that we have done of clinker. This is in line with our target to reduce cost of raw materials by 12% during the year versus last year. Transportation cost is rupees 1436 per ton, which is sustained at same quarter as the previous one, despite higher sales volume by 1.3 million tons. Consistent reduction in other costs over the quarters, and this has come down to by about 163 per ton, which is a 20% decline YOY on account of resource optimization and synergy with the parent company. With the mentioned improvements on both revenue and cost front, EBITDA for the quarter came in at 1,930 crores, which is a jump of 55% YOY. EBITDA per ton for the quarter was 1,253, implying a jump of 41 YOY. The margins for EBITDA expanded by 670 bips to 22.3 on a YOY basis. PAT grew by 31% YOY at rupees 1,135 crores. The capex spend during the quarter was 576 crores for the quarter and was achieved from internal accruals and cash in hand. As on 30th June, the consolidated cash and cash equivalents in the company's books was 11,886 crores, which is an increase of rupees 3,744 crores YOY. Coming to standalone results, The net revenue is up by 18% YOY at rupees 4730, in line with volumes which are up by 23% on a YOY basis. EBITDA grew by 48% YOY. On a like-for-like basis, excluding dividend income of 550 crores last year same quarter from ACC at 1,138 crore, margin expanded from 19.2% to 24.1%. Robust PAT growth at 29% on a YOY basis, again on a like-for-like excluding dividend income of 550 at 645 crores for this quarter. The company won several awards and accolades for its outstanding work in customer service, safety, circular economy and CSR. Ambuja has been recognized as India's most trusted cement brands 2023 by TRA Research. Ambuja ranked amongst India's top 50 most sustainable companies across sectors and amongst India's top 3 most sustainable companies in the infrastructure and engineering sector by BW Business World. So let me share with you the progress that we have made on our long-term strategy plan, shared with you also in May at the time of full year results for FY23. First, on new capacity addition, on strategy update, I highlighted to reach cement production capacity of 140 million tons by FY28. We will add around 40 million tons of new clinker capacity, thereby implying around 10 new clinker lines. The first line of 3.3 million ton facility is now almost ready within Ametha, with production likely to start in quarter two. Equipment orders for another two more lines are already placed. This includes 4 million ton facility at Bhatapara and another 4 million facility at Maratha in Chandrapur. Each of these lines will have 42 megawatts of waste heat recovery and provision for utilizing around 50% alternate fuels. These two facilities are expected to be commissioned within 24 months. For doubling the capacity of grinding facilities to 140 by 28, we are targeting 35 new grinding units. Against this target, we have already announced 6 new facilities with a capacity of 14 million tons. Of these 6 facilities, 3 units are mapped to the upcoming clinker facility at Bhatapara. These include one each at Sankarel, Kharagpur and Faratka. Another 3 units are mapped to Chandrapur clinker facility. These include one unit each at Jalgaon, Amravati and Pune. Besides, a facility of 1 million ton capacity is proposed at Bhatinda grinding unit in Punjab, and one new 1 million ton unit will be commissioned at Ametha in quarter 2 FY24. All together will take the total grinding capacity to around 83 million tons per annum. We will continue to provide progress updates of new orders and also the progress on individual products on an ongoing basis. Now, sharing an update on structural initiatives to become the cost leader in the Indian cement industry. In my last call and also in our strategy presentation, I have guided for a total cost reduction of over 400 per ton under 3 broad segments, which are energy and cost, freight and forwarding, manpower and admin. Let me first discuss on the progress made to reduce our energy cost. Our waste heat recovery capacity at the time of takeover in September was 40 megawatts. Which we are targeting to increase to 175 megawatts by July 24. As of June 23, we managed to increase the wasted capacity to 90 megawatts. We could manage to increase our AFR share to 7% against our long-term target of 30%. I also mentioned that we are considering installing 200 megawatts of captive renewable power generation. The construction of the facility has already started in Khavda in Gujarat and is expected to be ready by the end of the current financial year. On multiple occasions, I have highlighted that we want to be self-sufficient on our coal requirements with captive coal supplies as well as coal from group synergies. As a result, we have started bidding for coal mines and auctions being conducted by the Government of India. On account of these initiatives and reduction in fuel prices globally, our power and fuel costs have reduced by 30% to 1,501 per ton in quarter 1 FY24 from 2,138 per ton in June to September quarter, the last reported before our takeover. The second cost item is freight and forwarding. There are 3 focus areas for cost reduction here. First, reduction in lead distance. Second, warehouse footprint optimization. And third, railroad mix optimization. We are targeting to reduce the average road lead distance to around 100 kilometers. When we took over the company, the average road distance was 172 kilometers in June to September 22, which has reduced to 170 in the current quarter. We have increased the share of direct dispatches from 44% in September quarter to 51% in the current quarter. Rail dispatch percentage improved from 26 to 29 comparison of the same September versus June quarter. On account of these initiatives, the logistics cost have been sustained at June-September 22 quarter despite higher sales volume and catering to long lead markets to increase our market share. Now moving to the third cost item, which is other costs. Our business is being run as a single entity with a single executive team and a streamlined employee hierarchy, thereby removing the role of redundancies between Ambuja and ACC. With this, savings in technology know-how fees and packing cost reduction. This has led to other cost reduction by 13% to 669 per ton in quarter 1 FY24 from 770 per ton in the quarter preceding to the change of ownership. To ensure our assured supply in limestone, we continue to bid for limestone mines, and in the last few months we have won some new mines. Let me conclude by saying that our performance during the quarter was strong with improvement in both operational as well as financial parameters. We continue to generate significant cash to finance our expansion and pay dividends to our shareholders. I would now call upon my colleague Vinod Baheti to also make some comments on the performance of the quarter.
Thank you, Ajay ji. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. With a strong and robust financial performance, seeing a good jump in EBITDA both in absolute terms as well as on per metric ton, I am also glad to inform that our balance sheet has grown stronger compared to last quarter, with net worth increasing by almost 700 crore commensurate with the overall PAT. The cash and cash equivalent is net positive, almost at 12,000 crores. My operating cash flows are healthy. I have spent almost 600 crore on increasing my gross block. Despite that, I am positive on the net operating cash flows. Overall, with a stronger balance sheet and healthy cash flow position, it augurs very well for our growth aspects. I am sure many of you have seen our annual report, both physical or digital. We have put in a lot of efforts to put all level of details, which will give you lots of insights on the initiatives and the efforts being done by the management. Now, we request the moderator to put the floor open for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. I'll start with my question. My first one is on the volume growth. So this quarter, if we see, we've grown volume by 9% at consolidated level, whereas most of our large peers have grown significantly higher, closer to 20%. So just want to understand what is the reason for the underperformance and versus industry and versus last year's, and what is the key constraint here? Is it a capacity constraint or some other issue which we faced during the quarter?
Okay, so thanks, Sumangal. The industry, I believe, has by and large grown around 9 and 10%, and our growth more or less is in sync with that. The players whom you're talking have also added new capacities. So there's, of course, the flow from their new capacities, which has been added in the last couple of quarters. As we will start building and adding our new capacity, the one which is also coming in Ametha, I think you will start seeing our growth also coming up. But other than that, I think most markets we have grown favorably. There was a little aggressive monsoon in west where we have a larger presence. That of course had its play in the most of the month of June when the monsoon was very high.
Got it. So, okay, sir, over the next, say, 2 years, I mean, given our pipeline of capacity addition, from a utilization point of view, can we grow at 10 to 12 odd percent if the market growth supports that, or we should expect a lower growth over the next 2 years?
I don't see any issue with our growth of 10 to 15 percent even.
Got that. That's clear. So second question is with respect to our cost savings initiatives. Our expectation was that given the group synergies and various new initiatives, we will achieve 300 to 400 rupees per ton cost saving. Just want to know, where are we in that journey? How much has already been achieved? And over the next couple of quarters, what's the trajectory?
I think, as I mentioned last time, cost initiatives are of three natures, now and here. So I think all issues of now and here have been addressed already, and you're already seeing the reflection coming in the numbers. Then the initiatives which needed to speed up and catch up, which is waste heat recovery, solar, increasing alternate fuels. So I've already laid out in my opening that we will go from 40 megawatts when we took over the business to 175 by 24th June or July, I think I mentioned. That itself will give us a sizable savings. On top, the synergies within the group, we already started seeing power and fuel cost for us are, I think, in a much better trajectory than many other results which I have seen so far. On top of it, the fixed cost saving, employee cost saving, the overall, you know, SPC as we call it, all those costs, if you see, already showing a good reduction. So I'm very happy with the trajectory that we are following. And of course, freight and forwarding. As we built the footprint of new grinding units, you'll start seeing that also coming down with a much sharper turn.
And so, Mangal, just to also add, all our efforts are actually to bring a sustainable savings in the cost. So you will find this is coming quarters also further improvement while we sustain on the achievements which you already made.
Got that. I have more questions. I'll join back the queue. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, we'd like to request participants to please ask one question. For further questions, you may press star and one to rejoin the queue. We take the next question from the line of Prateek Kumar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
My first question is on employee cost. So we have seen sharp reduction across both companies for Ambuja on employee cost, both on year-on-year basis. So is this sustainable in terms of absolute number of 130 and 150 crore respectively for Ambuja?
You're not very audible. At least I'm not able to hear very clearly. Can you again speak more clearly? I'm not able to hear at least. Maybe the line is bad. You want to follow?
We seem to have lost the line. We'll move to the next question. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. First question is, sir, you indicated on the clinker addition of 20 million tons. Sir, can you specify whether we have already placed the orders over here? The same even for the grinding station. And you did indicate 140 by FY28, but when we say 20 million tons of clinker addition, what is the timeline that we are looking at over here? And same thing for the grinding stations, please.
Yeah, good question, Ritesh. I mentioned 40 million of new clinker, you know, addition to reach our target of 140 million cement and 35, you know, new grinding units to catch up with the grinding capacity. As I mentioned in my last call and also in May, 14 million tons of cement capacity equivalent orders have been already finalized. Two kiln orders have been issued, one each at Maharashtra and Chandrapur at our Maratha Cement Works and one at Bhatapara in Chhattisgarh. Both these kilns are 4 million tons each. And I also mentioned and laid out the grinding units for which are in sync with these clinker lines.
So just orders are placed and the timeline over here for Chandrapur-Bhatpara clinker lines?
All 24 months.
All 24 months. Okay. This is helpful, sir. I'll join back the queue. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yes, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jashandeep Chadda from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please
yes.
go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. First is on volume growth. So if we look at standalone, both Ambuja and ECC have recorded, you know, above 100% utilization on clinker and cement as well. So just wanted to understand what is the proportion of MAC sales in that, and where is that, you know, this higher incremental volume coming from? Is it from more from the non-trade segment you are seeing this demand, or is it from the trade segment? The first question is on this line.
Okay, thank you. You know what happens when you do optimization of each company's footprint? We try and squeeze out the lowest cost plants to serve. So therefore, there is this MSA sales which happen. But what you have to see is the consolidated sale of Ambuja, which reflects both ACC and Ambuja together. And that's where we have grown at about 9%. Number one. Number two, our trade and non-trade ratio, which remains in the region of 77-78%, has more or less stayed where it is, with a minor shift of 1%. In fact, our premium product sales has gone up, as I mentioned earlier. So there is no major change over here. We have grown in all segments. We still continue to focus on trade as our main bread and butter.
Nice, sir. Thank you. And we can expect this, you know, above 100% utilization. Is this sustainable for this year? Just wanted to understand that. Get it clear.
Yes. As I mentioned, in the market, the volume up to 15% at this moment, I don't see any challenge in growing.
Understood, sir. Clear. And sir, my next question is
basically on the allows us to participate in the full potential of industry growth.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I just wanted to understand on your capex. So, what is the capex guidance of FY24 for both, you know, standalone Ambuja and ACC, and also for this quarter we have mentioned around 600 crore of capex. So, if you can give a bifurcation of, you know, how much was for standalone Ambuja and for standalone ACC, that would be great.
So, our capex guidance for this year, the projects which are under execution is 6,947 crores. Of course, the cash flows might be different because it depends on how the cash outflow happens. But these are the projects which you already approved and which are under play.
Right. So that is for the 40 million tons for which...
It's also a lot of other projects. For example, I mentioned waste heat and some of the improvement projects at the plants. So this includes everything.
Understood, sir. And can you give a breakup for the 600 crore capex for this quarter? How much was for Ambuja standalone?
For this quarter, capex breakup, maybe I can.
I will give. In terms of Ambuja standalone, the overall capex has been close to about 300 crores, which is essentially for the WHRS at our Darlaghat plant, Bhatapara plant. Then we have also acquired land for setting up a grinding unit at Ropard in Hoshiarpur, and a few things more, especially on the rake procurement, which we have put in 28 crores. And then we have also maintenance capex of 34 crores. So about close to 260 odd crores is the capex standalone for Ambuja.
And the remaining is for ACC.
Right. Thank you so much. I have further questions, but I'll join the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder once again to participants that in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one per participant. We take the next question from the line of Rashi Chopra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just wanted to know the breakup for the waste heat recovery increase that you're talking about. The 90 megawatt going to 121 by FY24 and 175 by FY25. How does that, I know the breakup of the 90 megawatt, but how does the increment breakup between ACC and Ambuja?
Just give me a moment. So basically what we're going to do is, as an end state, ACC will go to close to 86 megawatts and Ambuja will go to 129 megawatts. By July 25. And by July 24, our plan is 85 each, 85 in ACC and 87.5 in Ambuja.
Does this also include, in Ambuja's case, does this also include the 42 megawatt that you're talking about with the two new clinker lines? Or that's
yes,
separate?
Yes. That includes that, yes. And when I give you the figure of July 25, Ambuja 130 megawatts and ACC 86, that includes the new lines also. When I give you June 24, then it's 87.5 and 85.5 for ACC. That does not include the new lines.
Right, got it. Sorry, you said 87.5.
Yes, please.
Okay. Secondly, on the power and fuel side, purely from a pet coke / coal cost perspective, how do you expect this to trend in the next few quarters?
I think the last one or two quarters, earlier the trajectory was sharper decline. Now I'm seeing more stable. Very difficult to predict, but I think in my commentary also, in the closing, I mentioned that the costs on energy side should remain stable going forward, according to me. We shouldn't see major surprises.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Satyadeep Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions. One on CAPEX. I want to understand, there's this Chandratwan and Vadapara lines that are coming up. There's also new flow around inorganic. If we look at the target the company has, the 140 million ton target and placing orders for 10 clinker lines, if there's any inorganic acquisition that comes up, would company recalibrate its organic growth expansion plans, or any inorganic would be additive to 140 million ton you already have? And tied to that would be, within that mix, a majority after Ametha, all the expansions seem to be coming in Ambuja, Chandrapur, Vatapara, even Mundra, if it comes, I'm not sure if it gets folded into Ambuja. And now the inorganic expansion is also being talked about in Ambuja. So when you look at that roadmap, how much would ACC participate in that growth versus Ambuja? That's the first question only.
So Satyajit, then I take this question only because you asked me multiple questions prior to this. So should I take only the question on ACC, or you want me to also address your other concerns?
Both. One is if you look at the target.
Okay, I'll address both your concerns. Okay, fine. So first, let me address your concerns about Bhatapara and basically you're asking how do we reach this growth of 40 million addition clinker, right?
No, between that growth that you have, how much, if you place that order for 10 clinker lines, you're doing clinker by 40 million tons and placing orders for 35-20 units. So that will get you 140 million tons. If in the meantime any inorganic growth comes up.
Sure. So basically our target is 140 million, which is what I've stated in the strategy roadmap ahead. What could happen is if we have an inorganic growth happening in between, it will only expedite our reaching of that target and also make our numbers more faster. Whether we will exceed 140 is difficult for me to say today, because I've placed some cash flow plans, which is what I've also put out in the public space. As and when we make a change, then I think we are anyway talking to you every quarter. And also from time to time, we are meeting our investors, so we'll come out with a new blueprint. But as of now, the blueprint we came out in March and spoke about it also later on in the May call is 140 million. And we are open for organic, inorganic growth if a good opportunity comes. And that will only help us to speed up our process and journey.
And right to that, the split between ACC and Ambuja, how are you thinking about placing orders in ACC or participation in inorganic growth for ACC versus Ambuja?
So it's a function of the deposits of limestone, which company has what kind of reserves. Interestingly, the two kilns I've ordered both had good reserves in Ambuja plants, one in Chhattisgarh and one in Chandrapur. ACC, as I mentioned, is about to complete 3.3 million new clinker line in Madhya Pradesh and Ametha. In time to come, you will find us growing in Karnataka, where ACC has Wadi plant, and maybe another one or two locations as part of our journey to grow. So I think it will be a mix of where we find good reserve and where we find a good fit for each entity. Also, if you see cash in hand, today Ambuja has a little larger. It's about close to 7,000 plus. So I think that also dictates how directionally we are moving.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Murarka from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So just on employee cost first. So I see the consolidated employee cost is much higher than the sum of ACC ASM this time. In fact, on consolidated, there's hardly any drop on QOQ on employee cost. Could you just help explain like why is it like that in this quarter?
Sure.
So thanks. Basically, in terms of standalone versus consol, this is more of a issue of say regrouping, which we got this regroup between the employee cost versus the other expenditure, and the other expenditure is more about the common expenses between ACC and Ambuja, which was allocated in the ratio of as an approved policy in the ratio of say 50-48 between ACC and Ambuja. So therefore, that you will find a factor under the other expenditures. However, from July onwards, we will put everything, even these common sharing expenditures, under the bucket of employee cost only, so that there is a proper grouping of the overall element of cost. As you rightly said, on a consol basis, there is marginal drop only in terms of the overall employee cost from 378 crores for June 23 to last year 385 crores, or last quarter was 387 crores.
Okay, so it's only a reclassification because of which we see a drop in Ambuja ACC.
Yes. So we have this master services agreement. Yeah, so that is more of account of the reclassification related point.
Okay. Also, could you just highlight how much is the MSA volume booked in ACC and Ambuja volumes?
The MSA volume is basically, as I mentioned earlier, we try and optimize each of the entities, grinding units and clinker units. And interstate, finally, what we report out in the console level is what you see, it goes in the market. Individual numbers are already there with you. When you see the growth of Ambuja and you see growth of ACC, I think more or less that number is very clearly laid out. But at our console entity, we would have done about 1.5 million in the MSA.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder once again to participants to please limit your questions to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible? Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, you are audible, Rajesh.
Yeah. So my first question pertains to similar to the employee cost, even your depreciation number, the consolidated number do not add up to the standalone depreciation numbers. The standalone depreciation numbers are higher. Any specific reason for the same? And second, can you talk on large capacity additions out of these 14 million ton? Good amount of them are concentrated in Maharashtra and West Bengal. Any thought on them?
I will take up the first point in terms of the depreciation. That is on account of the lease accounting, which we follow for certain assets, in this case, shipping and some of the RMX business trucks and other equipment. So on a consolidated basis, those get knocked off, while on a standalone basis, they remain there. So that is the overall consolidation effect. On the other part, I'm requesting a digital answer.
Yeah, so your question was why, your question was on regional expansion. So basically what will happen is over the next 5 years, as we play out our strategy roadmap on expansion, we will not be putting all the eggs in, you know, one particular market. We will grow. What happens is when you put one clinker line, you also need to put up the grinding units which have to sustain that clinker. In this case, we have put two clinker lines actually in central and eastern India. Medha in ACC of 3.3, which gets into commissioning very soon. And Bhatapara in Chhattisgarh of Ambuja. So together, let's say around 7.3 million new clinkers. So we need to have grinding for this. So therefore, you find these locations. The locations chosen also brownfield. It allows us to do a low cost, fast expansion. And also, these are the home markets for Ambuja and ACC. And for Chandrapur, our last plant put up here was 2011. If I'm not mistaken, that was ACC Chanda plant. After that, we have not added any new kiln here. So I think as part of our normal market share protection strategy, this kiln was very much useful. 4 million ton clinker coming in Chandrapur after 10 years, I think is the right strategy. And then to build its distribution, we are announced the grinding stations. As you see, every quarter or every couple of quarters, we'll keep playing out our new expansion plans. So whenever you hear a kiln or two kilns together or three kilns together, you'll also hear the associated grinding units which pan out along with that.
And so in the AGM note, you have mentioned 7,000 crore capex console for the FY24. So how would they be spread between both the companies, Ambuja standalone and ACC?
I think that we can take the discussion offline, but I take note of your question. We'll definitely connect with you and provide you those details.
After this call, I'll give you the number.
Sure, sir. I'll come back and queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shravan Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, just to clarify, when we say 24 months, we will be adding this for whatever the announced expansion. So this 24 months will start from March 23 or from August or July 23?
It's already started. Huh? You are, this is somewhere in the month. The day I made this press release, this was in May I announced. So it's already started from that time.
Okay, so broadly it will be by first quarter of FY26 all this new expansion will come.
Yes, please. Because both the kilns, we already have mining licenses, we already have land. So I think those should fairly come up fast, and these are brownfield expansions. And some of the grinding stations are also expansions at the same location. And in some other cases also we have full land available. So I think we should be fairly fast in that.
Okay, and then just to clarify, when we say in terms of the EBITDA per ton improvement, 300-400 rupees, so is it including the other income that we are talking about, or without other income, and also post this, so whatever the today's number is there in terms of the EBITDA per ton on standalone Ambuja 1042, so from here on, how much is still left to reach 300 or 400 rupees improvement?
See, our end state target is what we announced in the month of March, was to increase our EBITDA by 400 rupees per ton on an average of 11,000 to 1,100 over the last 2 years, if you really see. I'm eliminating the quarter of September when we took over. It was also the time when the energy prices were the highest, and also that's not the quarter we wanted to pick it up. So on a base of 1,100, 400 rupees per ton, we are saying we'll improve. So end state should be 1,450, 1,500. That's the end state target. I think all the initiatives that I've laid out are structural initiatives. And these structural initiatives will be cost competitiveness for the companies for all time to come.
Thank you.
Just to answer to the earlier question, in terms of the capex for the year between Ambuja and ACC, so the capex of all the growth and efficiencies as well as maintenance capex is well distributed between both the companies. If I would have to just give a ballpark of 7,000 crores, one can expect almost 60-65% with, say, Ambuja and 35-40% with ACC for FY23-24.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Sundar Sriram from Franklin Templeton. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. Very healthy operating performance in both ACC and Ambuja. Let me start with that. My first question is on ACC performance at the unit EBITDA level has seen a very strong sequential improvement than what is seen in Ambuja. On a reported basis, it has moved from 694 per ton to 900. Now, on a sequentially, volume increase about 10 to 11%, but the EBITDA growth has been very strong. Now, from a business perspective, sir, what has driven this very strong EBITDA performance at ACC level, and how do we think about this business, the profitability evolution over the next few quarters from an ACC level perspective? If you can share that, that will be helpful.
Yeah, thank you, Shyam. If you recall, the ones who were there in the call last time, the last two calls, one question was asked to me multiple times, that why is it that ACC continues to be an underperformer, and why is it the gap between Ambuja and ACC is not bridging? And I think I mentioned the same thing last time. We are running both the companies with single management executive team, both from operations of the plants to the sales, to logistics, to finance, to procurement, to the entire group synergies. Both are receiving same level of support. In fact, we have pushed a lot on ACC side to have a catch-up plan. And I think I'm very happy that ACC has, the plants have shown improvements. Besides the structural investments of coal from our own mines, coal from adjacencies of the business, fly ash adjacencies, the procurement efficiencies, the plant operating parameters, the waste heat recovery project investments, alternate fuel investments, logistics initiatives, the MSA initiatives which I spoke about. I think all these are helping ACC to catch up. There are some plants in ACC which are a little dated, which we need to invest more. And I think we also focus there. So I think this is a result of all this panning out. I believe in time to come, ACC will continue to improve. And also, we will continue to see a much better, catch-up between ACC and Ambuja. Because end state, we are managing it as one entity.
Sure, sir. Just one follow-up on that. If you look at the purchase of finished goods at ACC level, as a percentage of revenue, last quarter it was around 14% for ACC. That is now around 13%. The MSA volumes for ACC seem to be slightly higher. Now, my only question is there any change in terms of the pricing or anything of that sort on the MSA agreement that we have done? On a prospective basis from this quarter onwards?
No, so Shyam, in terms of purchase of the finished goods, if you look at it, for example, I would actually want you to consolidate these four cost items, which is the cost of materials consumed, the purchase of the stock in trade, the change in the finished goods, and the power and fuel. Because generally you will find that when you produce, some of this cost gets distributed across these four items. And when I sum total of that, vis-a-vis, say, June 23, it is, say, 2,552 crores on an ACC level versus March 23, it is 2,520. So there is hardly any change. So suffice to say that when you produce and then when there is a stock in hand, the stock treatment as well as the amount which goes into power and fuel and cost of raw materials consumed, this actually sometimes brings some aberration in the line items. So when you consolidate that together, those four items, you will find it is in sync with the overall volume growth.
Also, one more point, the coal block which we have in Ambuja, Garepalma, we also increased the share of coal from that block to ACC. So obviously that helped in the power and fuel cost for ACC.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Biraya from Bandhan Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So could you also talk about pricing as to how the environment that you are seeing in the key markets? And could you also touch upon the discounts and rebates that we used to give? Thank you.
Okay, Bandhan, that's a very tricky question. Price, as you know, is a function of demand supply. Fortunately, the demand has been growing at a healthy 8%, 10%, and last quarter was actually 10, 11%. However, we also see new capacities come in some parts by some of the players. On top of it, in June, we saw also heavy monsoon. So that had a little bit of an overhang of little extra supply in the market. While prices have not risen, but the good news is they've also not drastically fallen. The trajectory has been maintained even in, as we entered the monsoon season. I think going forward, as I see, the utilization levels in the industry should go up from 75, 76 to more like 78%. If I remove south and only look at the top part of the Indian Peninsula, you will find this utilization more inching towards 79 odd in some areas. So I think that's the level where it hits 80%, you have a very good pricing power. But I think there's a very mature industry. It's a huge 400 million plus market. So you have to look at micro markets rather than looking at the all India picture on pricing. I think that you had a follow-up question also. I think other than pricing, you're asking me something else.
Frank, touch upon the discounts and rebates that were happening in the industry as to how is that practice going and how are you placed on that front?
I think by and large, most large companies in the trade segment, talking, and I think that's what you're referring to, follow a particular dealer remuneration policy. I think more or less we are also following the same. However, there was also, some discounts which are not the regular dealer remuneration, but these are adjustment of market prices. Every market has a different structure. East has a little different structure than West. And then, of course, South has a little different structure than Center. We are not very big players in South today. But in rest of the industry, we are more or less, addressing this, keeping our dealer network and also our sales objectives in place. We try and have more transparency in our approach so that, the customer and also our salespeople are able to leverage the brand strength. I think we are undoubtedly having two of the strongest brands in most of the markets. So I think the pressure on us is a little less than some of the other companies in this regard.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Patni from Goldman Sachs Asset Management. Please go ahead.
So thank you. That's not the asset management. This is the research side. So my question is, I just want to check. I think I heard you answer some other question on power and fuel prices from here on. You mentioned that you expect it to be stable. So given the correction in global prices of fuel, should we not expect it to fall further from here? If you could just clarify what that answer was.
See, it's a very difficult question to answer because there are multiple factors which play out. But I would say stable or remaining, competitive in time to come is the best way for me to say. But I would not expect them to rise. If at all, they should come down by a couple of bits. That's the way I would look at it.
So this is basically based on whatever shipments we are expecting to receive in the next, say, couple of quarters, whatever we would have ordered, we should expect it to be stable.
Okay, so just to be very clear and also again reiterate what I meant, I was talking more at the industry level, how the fuel prices in general will play out in the industry. Of course, we have a different strategy and I think my strategy is exactly what is playing out in my numbers. So I think we would continue to play that strategy out.
Which is that it should go down or it should be stable?
you understood what I meant. No. It obviously has to become better than where we are.
Well, also just to reiterate and maybe a smart strategy what Ajay is following is that keep it stable for the team so that there's a good pressure on bringing efficiency on all the other factors. And whenever the price declines on the coal, this gives you much better scope of the margins. So I think we are not over ambitious in terms of only driven by market on the coal prices. Our whole focus is on the controllable factors, which is within our overall efficiencies across the other costs, which is within our control more than the market driven largely by on the coal.
Also, the inventory element of it plays out because, as you know, When you import a ship, you have to plan 3 months in advance. And also, typically 30-35 days inventory people keep in the factory. So I think it's also the cost of your inventory. As that cost of the inventory gets replenished with the lower cost fuel you bought, you start seeing the impact in the following quarters. I think that's the second part of my answer.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Agarwal from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, again, on the fuel side, we recently heard of some softening in the prices of Indonesian coal, which was pretty sizable. So on the current booking, are you seeing anything on that side?
See, Aman, what we do is we work very closely with our group ICM team on all imports. And I think what we do is we always have a plan of next 3 months. In place. I can only tell you that, you see, this will happen. Some days we had a very good advantage in the domestic pet coke market, and the local refineries offered us very good discounts. So we went and bought those shipments at some plants, like many other local companies would have done. Likewise, the situation changes, and we do opportunist buying also. But by and large, our 3 month planning keeps into account all these, and whenever there's an opportunity, we go ahead and book at a group level. And we continue to keep multi-fuel strategy, so we are not married to one particular kind of a fuel. What we do is we keep optimizing the fuel mix, we keep optimizing the inventory mix, and I think that's what I believe in time to come we want to play out. And on top of it, I think our core strategy is our own mines. And also group adjacencies. So I think that's where it gives me a lot of strength of having one anchor mix which continues to bring the cost down, and then you have an opportunity buying like you mentioned about Indonesia.
Understood, sir. Sir, on the same note, if you can just share the fuel mix for this quarter.
Fuel mix for the quarter, I think it's a fairly complicated number. We can certainly connect. I'll ask Charanji to connect with you. And we can have a chat offline.
Sure, sir. Then lastly, I mean,
shifting towards we looked at the domestic petcoke. We also looked at local linkage and e-auction coals. And of course, wherever we had advantage of lower cost imported coals, we did that. And that was primarily responsible for improving our mix at the group level.
Understood, sir. And so lastly, if I may, when we say the prices of the Indian power...
You imported petcoke also, I think, I remember, we got some very good pricing.
Yeah. Okay. And so when we say, we expect the power and fuel cost to be rather stable going ahead, we are taking the, for Ambuja per se, the 1279 level mark rather than the 1500 level mark, right?
For Ambuja, you said consolidated, it's more like 1480 odd. And I think interstate 1279 is the right number, yes. And this will only improve going forward.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Sundar Sriram from Franklin Templeton. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. Just one follow-up question. We have reported our power and fuel cost on a production basis has reduced anywhere between 7 to 8%, 8% for ACC and 7% for Ambuja on a standalone. Now, the question is, we had some coal advance asset at the end of March 23 that we had contracted some time back with the ceiling, I think, for about $157 and a minimum of 5,600 kcal. Now the actual fuel cost that we in per rupees kcal that we have mentioned in the press release seems to be lower than that. Now the question is, first part is, has that coal advance been used? How have we managed to reduce the fuel cost sharper than that? So that that is one part. And secondly, are we renewing those contracts because that seems to be benefiting us? Any thoughts on that? Thank you.
So, Shyam, let me address number one. For Ambuja, the coal advance is zero as the end of this quarter. For ACC, there is still some money there, which we expect to be zero by September quarter, which is what I had also mentioned in the last call. If you recall, I'd also mentioned that this has been a strategic buy for us. It was also in my inaugural today in the call. And I'm very happy that the strategy which our procurement teams had played out have actually helped us delivering industry-best power and fuel cost, and also one of the remarkable ones for our AAA performance over the last running 3 or 4 quarters. Whether we will again do a transaction is difficult for me to comment today. As I said, we have a mix of strategies. Core of our strategy is to go more and more of our own coal mines and work with our group, synergies. And I am very confident it will help us to bring down the power and fuel cost. And our target, end state target, is to be the lowest cost clinker producer in the country.
Wonderful, sir. Wonderful. So just the domestic coal mix in the fuel, is that possible to share that number? How will that move? Because you mentioned we have started using more of Gare Palma coal. Just how that number as in the mix has moved?
So Gare Palma is about 12 to 13% of our total mix for the fuel. What we have done is we have this quarter we use almost 12.5% of Gare Palma. So that I think really helped us also in the cost. And I also mentioned we looked at imported pet coke, which was a sizable number, and then of course remaining was our domestic linkage and imported coal.
Okay, understood. So thank you very much. I'll fall back in the queue and best wishes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parth Goyal from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Good afternoon, sir. So in one of our call earlier, we had mentioned that we will be increasing our RMX plant from 78 or to 200 plus. So any timeline for it and where is this progress? I mean, like any input if you can give on that.
Yeah, so RMX, our strategy of going to 200 remains. Current year, we should cross 100 plus plants. My colleague also mentioned he's also, Vinod is working with my RMX team to optimize the structures, lease accounting, which also helps us something on the tax planning. So I think the journey continues. We want to be focused into the core markets where it fits beautifully well into our integrated customer service strategy.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Best wishes.
Thank you. We'll be able to take one last question. We take the last question from the line of Mudit Agarwal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So just one question, like we have given advances of ₹25 crore to a related party for long-term supply of fuel. That is for the Mundra cement plant unit, and that should be available from FY26. So in terms of expansion, as we already placed order for 2 lines, one in Chhattisgarh and one in Maharashtra. So will this Mundra cement plant be the our next first priority for the expansion? And if yes, what is the status of land as well as the environmental clearance? Thank you.
Okay, so Mundra will be a beautiful investment, I think, from my perspective, because of two counts. Number one, it will be a very competitive plant. Number two, it will be a very green plant. And number three, it will be sitting on a location from where I have multimodal logistics supply chain arrangements. Mundra in Kutch is also connected with rail, which no other plant in Kutch is connected. So we have our own rail system there. It allows us to also bring a lot of raw materials and also product output. Second, Mundra is a beautiful port. You can reach anywhere, including exports and also domestic markets, right up to Trivandrum, in the down south. We already decided to place 2 million ton grinding at Mundra. Eventually, there will be 2 mills of 4 million and the kiln, which is at 2.3 million. The work at the site is already there. Land is available with us and EC is also available with us. I'll give you more updates in my forthcoming calls on the status of the product project. But it's a very, very, very interesting project from overall perspective, and also on improving our footprint and market shares in West Coast markets.
So the highest level of Adani adjacencies, you will find actually one location in Mundra.
Yeah, there's a fly ash available, there is a port available, there is a railway connectivity available, and there is there is no need for a limestone. We are actually going to build it with a raw material, so it will actually become a 100% green cement.
Exactly.
And we will use limestone slurry at that plant. Is it correct?
It will be calcium carbide, which is a byproduct of coal to PVC plant.
Understand. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's it from me.
Thank you very much. We'll have to take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management team for any closing comments.
So thank you once again for taking out the time. I hope most of the questions have been answered. For any unanswered questions, feel free to reach out to me. And looking forward to the next quarterly call in October. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.